Ball Spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Tuesday. Nope, it's Wednesday morning out there in Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We're going to get into all kinds of stuff. Some high school football playoffs at the end of the show. 4A-centric today. Look at some other stuff tomorrow. Last night's college football playoff rankings. Get some thoughts. Who's out of place? I want to ask how many teams still have a legitimate chance? And by legitimate, I mean you can actually make a scenario that's not so outlandish that it makes sense, right? I mean, no offense to any UTSA Roadrunner fans, but I'm not sure you can make enough of a – I'm not sure you can create enough chaos, even though they're undefeated, number 23 in this week's poll, in order for them to actually make the playoff, right? I don't think you can do it.
I think strength of schedule definitely matters.
So anyway, so how many teams still – how many teams can you create a scenario that aren't just crazy? And then from there, how do they rank in order of the control that they have to that scenario? Does that make sense? So basically what I'm asking you is how many teams are left that have a chance at the 14 playoff, and what order would you rank them in as far as –
Probability
of the control, how much they control of that destiny.
Sure.
And we'll also talk a little bit about last night's high school hoops, Paragon TV, five different locations for five doubleheaders. Some impressive wins. One, I thought, I'll be honest with you, about 7:45, whenever the first games are finishing up, the girls' games, my phone kind of had some notifications, so I checked them. I saw a score, and I went, Matty Oaks messed that up.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He left off a number.
Yeah.
He had to have, right?
I double-checked it. It wasn't a mess up.
Yeah, well, then I saw it today. I was like, oh, never mind. Matty had it exactly
real.
Right.
Yeah.
Impressive wins. I thought one of the biggest surprises, at least margin of victory-wise, you were there, so we'll figure out why that happened. And then and a really impressive win for Apo Butler. Anytime you knock off Fort Cobb. On the boys' side, it doesn't matter what Fort Cobb's like. They're always pretty good, if not state championship good. So we'll get into those results from last night as well. Tell us what you saw. I'm sure a bunch of you were out at different games. What did you see? What did you enjoy? You know, your team, did they win? Did they lose? Who played well? Let us know. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. It's 225-9698. Give us a call. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We'll talk about those things. Got something else on your mind, feel free to chime in there as well at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area coming up and you want to stay in touch with the show live, two ways to do it, kadsam.com. So hit the live listen live tab at the top there. It'll change pages, hit the play button, boom, you're streaming us. Or you can download the Paragon Communications app. That app has all things Paragon. Three radio stations here at Elk City, KECO, Cool 94, KADS. Got the Penny News in the app, brand new edition of the Penny News. Hit the website last night at midnight at thepennynews.com. So brand new deals to check out in this week's Penny News online. Be able to pick up a print copy of that thing. Some locations this evening, everywhere tomorrow with the free copy of the print edition of the Penny News. Also, Big Elk TV, Paragon TV are in the app. Watch the Elks in the playoffs, football playoffs Friday night. Up at Cushing at 7, also all that high school basketball over on Paragon TV as well. And then, of course, our podcast, Skinny on Sports. If you missed the show entirely, you can find us on KADSAM.com, or you can find us on iTunes. If you go to iTunes, find us. You might as well subscribe to the podcast, because that's when we release a new one each day. Boom, it pops up on your phone. You don't have to go find us. So with that said, hello, Jared.
How are you?
I am wonderful. Lots of hoops last night. You saw one pretty good game in the girls and one blowout in the boys. What were your impressions of both Canute and Leedy, with the Trojanettes winning 36-32 and the Trojans 76-53 winners over the Leedy Bison?
Well, when you get wins over Leedy, you're doing something pretty good. Leedy's always going to bring you a good team. I was saying that all over and over last night, and you could tell, you know, I mean, listen, you're going to get what you get with Leedy, and the girls' game, both teams are a little thin, and I think Leedy, because of injury to one of their key players, and that's detrimental, I'm afraid, because without her, I'm talking about Gore, they're little handcuffed on what they want to do. But that's, I mean, it is what it is, and every coach say, hey, that's that hand we're dealt, and we're going to deal with it and move on. And so, you know, Coach Broadman, that's the approach he's taken. And but so they still gave a good fight, and kudos to Canute. You know, let's, you know, maybe call it an upset on Friday night. I don't know, losing to Eric 34-30 and then turning around. I guess they shot very poorly, just going back and scouting them, because I wasn't there. They shot very, very poorly, being told they shot very poorly from the field. They didn't last night. They finally came alive after a slow start in the first quarter. And, of course, who do you think made that engine run? That'd be one Kylie Smith, finishing with 17. And she was held scoreless in the first quarter, where Leedy had the lead, and then Kylie came alive. And it helped to have some outside shooting from Jade Gray and Abby Janning. So it was a nice effort from them. And the boys, I was saying it before the game, with the way both teams could score and how deep their benches are, I would almost peg the over at about 140, 120 points. And it was closer than what the score would tell you if you watched the game. It was close at half. Man, Canute started off hot in the third quarter and never really looked back. They can shoot it. You'd think it'd be more of an inside game. They can, and they had to shoot it when you had the Puffenbarger boys, who are very tall, very big. A couple other guys, the names escape me. I don't have my stats in front of me. Leedy's a big team physically. So Canute had to shoot it to have success, and they did. I think about six or seven guys hit from outside, and they knew too, we can't slow down because Leedy can go on a run. And a couple times they did there in the second half, but Leedy or Canute pulled away. So it was an impressive win, one of those early wins that you kind of look at and go, you know, this, you're still trying to, you know, you still try to figure out teams. I always look at like the month of November as figuring out a team, like who are the contenders, who are the pretenders, and that's a key win early in the year when you can beat a Lance Carpenter team. That's key. I'm not trying to take anything away from Leedy, because I think they're going to be good too in Class B. So it's a couple of fun games.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Couple of fun games.
I always kind of split it up into three different segments, at least out here for our teams, because they kind of play each other, but not as much as you'd expect, because, you know, you see different games. Mm-hmm. But everybody gets, you know, 8 or 10. And then there, that second week of December, you see the 5 county. So that's kind of like the early season kind of barometer, right?
Right.
It's the 5 county. Everybody gets together. They've all played, you know.
You played about a month worth of games.
Outside of Merritt. Yeah. Merritt's normally played about two.
For sure.
Or maybe three, and then boom, they're right into it. But everybody else in A and B have played, you know, 8 or 10, somewhere in that neighborhood. So, you know, had time to work on some things from the early season. Then they play good competition. You know, whoever wins that kind of comes out of there as, you know, or you know, in the finals or whatever. You know, you kind of start thinking, okay, looking ahead, watching that team, is that that's going to be one of the state tournament contenders, you know, type of thing. Then you get through the Christmas break, which I think a lot of times is where teams really start to improve because they have the games under their belt. Now they get back on the practice floor and get to correct some of the things from early season that they maybe weren't as good at. You step right into January with those two tournament weeks, the second week and the third, first and the third, or whatever they are, depending on how the calendar falls. That's kind of segment two. Mm-hmm. Of, okay, you had Christmas, you had the 2 weeks of tournaments, then, you know, you finish the season and it's playoff time. So this time ahead of that 5 county is always pretty interesting to see some results. And it seems like to me a lot of times those results flip after you get almost a month under your belt at the five county when some of these teams will play again. So that'll be interesting to see what holds true next month and what maybe flips with some teams figuring some things out. But last night, that was a good barometer for both games, both schools. That score, I was just – not that Canute won the boys' game, but by 23, it's like, whoa. Are we not realizing?
Not taking away the win. It was an impressive win. I was impressed with what some guys did that you're not used to seeing them do. Colt Randall stands out. He's usually a sit outside, get open, and shoot from beyond the arc, and he can fill it up that way. But the way he would penetrate, he had great vision with his assist, and he would have that floater in the lane that was working for him last night on more than one occasion. That's a senior player right there. You could tell him he had to add something to his game to be more effective. There's that. Kyron Winery, I mean, he took a beating last night against those Puffenbarger boys. Stepping up, took more than one charge. And he had the task to defend those guys. And those are tough kids to defend. And he had game-high 17 points. So It was impressive for me to see how spread out it was for Canute. It wasn't just centralized to two or three guys.
Right.
Everybody got in on the act. And then when it became apparent that, okay, game's over, Carpenter put in his guys, and then, of course, Steph has put in his guys. Well, the Canute guys, and it's home court, they went in, and I said this on air, they went in and didn't miss a beat. It's like they had that confidence about them, like, okay, now it's our turn. We finally, there wasn't any nervousness or jitters to them. They went in and continued to score.
Yeah.
So, again, that's why I think that score is a little inflated. But, it's a good, early season win. And it's a good, this is good, But you see that all the time. You'll see a team get an early season win and you think, okay, this team could go places. And then not happened. So the key is you just got to get better as the season goes on. And that's the thing, man. I mean, if this Canute boys team can get better, I mean, twice in their two wins, they've scored over 70 points. If they can continue that and continue to sharpen up, it could be something special. I mean, Steffes has got a deep bench. And, we were talking way before the season, what team could make a deep run? I mean, there's always that possibility for them. I think Leedy's still in it. I do. I think I see some great things from them. When they correct some things, they're going to, they will. Coach Carpenter will have them ready for a run in Class B. So that's the fun part about this, right? And you get some good games here early in November, and then you never know. And it's exciting for me because I saw two good teams last night, and we cover them,
Right.
And that's exciting for me.
Yeah, and then obviously, as I mentioned earlier, Arapo Butler on the boys' side, 57-49, three overtime win over
at Fort Cobb. Yeah, yes. That's big, man.
It's a big win for Coach Rogers and that crew. Brett Griffith, again, was very good. It's funny because with the Arapaho Butler, 2 years ago, they're playing in the state finals. What was that, a three overtime game when they lost to Garber?
Yeah.
When Edlin was a senior. So then last year, you're thinking, okay, a little step back. They don't have Jace anymore. Well, Pyron kind of the team kind of comes around him. There they are in the state tournament again, and another close loss to, I believe it was Garber, again, there in the first round. And so now you look up and you think, okay, Pyron's gone. You don't have Edlin. And now here's Brett Griffith kind of stepping up as the guy for everybody to follow. And so that's, to me.
He took that mantle to me last year in the state tournament.
As he in the games. And it's just one of those things that as you build a program, these things just kind of naturally occur. You're not a flash in the pan one hit wonder. You're a program that's to be dealt with, and I think Coach Rogers and Arapaho Butler are becoming that. That like Leedy on the boys' side, before last year made five straight state champion or state tournament runs, and it's different guys. It's not just this class doing this. And I think that's when you realize it's a program and not just like a group of athletes, and for them to be going down there and beating Fort Cobb after losing those guys the last couple of years, that's very, very impressive. Their girls won 35-3. I'm serious. I thought Matt forgot I thought he forgot a number.
Like a one or something.
A two or a three, yeah, something. Yeah. But 35-3, you know, I think Katie Edelin on the girls' side individually is going to be one of the better players out here for sure, just a junior. You know, we've seen her coming ever since her freshman year. So it'll be interesting to see how that team ends up. It's kind of a surprise to me at Cheyenne, really both games. Sentinel beat Cheyenne on the girls' side 48-44, but then Cheyenne beat Sentinel on the boys' side 53-47. I would have probably had those results switched in my mind out there at Cheyenne, with the Cheyenne girls winning and the Sentinel boys winning. But that's exactly the opposite of what happened last night.
Huh.
Was Sentinel girls beating Cheyenne, and then Cheyenne boys beat the Sentinel boys. So a good win for the Bears for sure. Eric, the girls win again, 39-31 over Sweetwater. Their boys get their first win, 55-48 over Sweetwater. Then Hammond, their girls 2-0, 60-30 over Fargo Gage Fort Supply. And then the boys win 60-43. Bunch of people, everybody back in action. We'll talk about what's coming up on Friday here in the next couple of days. But kind of the second night of everybody playing and starting to see some interesting results for some different teams out here. On the high school basketball floor.
Yeah.
So another good night.
We're just getting started.
Just starting. But you know what?
We're gonna walk in here and go, well, that was quick.
Wow, the season's over. Isn't that crazy? Why is it our golf tournament already again? What happened?
Yeah.
Still a few days away from having to make your picks in the Western Oklahoma Realty College Pick'em. I mentioned yesterday, forgetting to pick a few games definitely doesn't help your record. But let's see, we got what, 4 weeks left, three regular season weeks, and a conference championship week.
Well, what do we got here? Yes.
Yeah. One, so two, four three, more weeks.
Four more weeks. Are the conference championships a part of this?
Yes.
Okay.
The week of the 29th.
Then are we doing a bowl thing?
We'll do a bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to find a prize for the bowl.
It should be a bowl.
Just a bowl?
Yeah, you know, you can put snacks in it, chips, candy.
You know.
Dip.
What we could do.
Discarded wings when you're done eating them.
We could put some oranges, sugars, and rose, and it could be an orange sugar rose bowl.
Moving on. That was a reach.
Well, here's the deal. I was going to say it ought to be an orange one. And then I started thinking, well, everything else is bowl too.
Hey, why don't we just make a trophy? Call it the skinny bowl. Like have a bowl. And we could put, I don't know, maybe some cold beverages in it on ice.
See, a cup.
A cup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That way when you win, you could drink out of your cup.
And the winner can come here. We'll get a picture with them.
I think people would prefer something different. Thank you to Tyler Harrison.
They prefer money.
Robbie Allen.
Maybe gift certificates. They don't want a trophy.
That's ripping off the Stanley Cup.
And
you know what else we could do?
What?
All the losers, we could bring in and give them little green ribbons for participating. That'll be fun. Get their pictures. Don't worry, Johnny. You played too. Here you go. Anyway, thanks to Robbie Allen. Tyler Harrison, we mentioned his birthday over the weekend. Western Oklahoma Realty, people before property is a motto. We really appreciate them hanging out with us again this year. All your real estate needs, go down there and visit Western Oklahoma Realty. Okay, so last night's college football playoff rankings were released. The second iteration of those rankings. You know, it's interesting, Jared.
What is that?
If you look back at history, you can call out the season.
Really?
Because the last 6 years, the national champion has been ranked either number one or number two in the second ranking.
Oh.
So call it off after the SEC title game. If Georgia wins, I guess we can play the rest of the season out if Bama wins.
Okay.
Because then we won't know who's going to win. Because Bama will be in the playoff if they defeat Georgia, if they get to play in that game. Rankings look like this. Georgia was the easy number one. No one has an argument with that. Although, I'm not arguing with it. I'm not arguing with Georgia being number one. However, are we really sure who they've beat?
Yeah, I've heard this argument. I mean, they are still in the East.
They have beaten beaten two teams that are ranked right now. This argument happened yesterday, and it got me to thinking. If Bama would have beaten A&M, and they were also undefeated, I think conventional wisdom would have Georgia number one in people's minds. And to me, that would be just absolutely ludicrous.
Well, I mean,
when you look at their schedules,
I'm going to defend myself. I was doing that before Alabama lost.
You already had Georgia won.
They just, by my eye test, I thought Georgia looked better than Bama.
Yeah, but their resume isn't anywhere close.
I understand.
Anyway.
And at the time, we still thought Clemson was good. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true.
No, that clearly isn't the case.
No. They've beaten Arkansas.
Opinions change, and that's okay.
They've beaten Arkansas, who's number 25. Committee. They've beaten Auburn, who is number 17. That's it. You know, and I actually mentioned this way back when, the week of that game. If you were a fan of a conference outside the SEC, you needed Clemson to win that game because of Georgia's schedule. And then what's happens next is, uh-oh, here we go, Georgia-Bama. And that's where we are. We're 3 weeks away. But Georgia is clearly number one.
What's funny is, I guess the question is, did Clemson play their best game of the season, the first game of the year?
Sure feels like it.
Or does that indication of the lack of competition that Georgia has played being, you know, they only beat them by a touchdown, and that was a pick six, by the way, and they run through the rest of their schedule, which is comprised mostly of a very weak SEC East. Is this fool's gold is what I'm asking?
Yeah, no, that's me too. We'll find out. I mean, the one thing about Georgia is this. They've been dominant.
Well, they should be when you play Missouri.
Well, that's why they're getting the love they're getting. We'll see.
Vanderbilt, yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
But anyway, so far they're clearly number one. Then last night, Bama 2, Oregon 3, Ohio State 4, Cincinnati 5. The real weird thing happened at 6 with Michigan jumping Michigan State, OU 8, Notre Dame 9, Oklahoma State 10, and then Texas A&M 11. We talked yesterday, would it be fluid? Would it be kind of just stair-step? It was simply stair-step. Yep. And then where Michigan State fell to decided where everything was at. I thought it was super interesting with everything that they've talked about that Michigan State finds itself behind Michigan, even though Michigan literally beat them 10 days ago. Michigan State beat them 10 days ago.
Right. They're wrong.
That's such a... It would be one thing if, like, Michigan's resume was just leaps and bounds better than Michigan State's, you know, but they lost that game. The problem is it's not. It's very, very similar on their resumes, and we can literally point back 10 days to Michigan State winning that game. Here's the deal. That's all going to – and the overarching point that I'm going to make here is that this is all going to work itself out. And this is the inherent problem with having these shows every week, is you're wanting the final picture before all the paint is on the canvas. Mm-hmm. And so you're getting snapshots, and it's making everybody mad because the whole story hasn't been written. Now, I do think it's ridiculous that Michigan State's behind Michigan for one reason and one reason only. This is the only time they've done it throughout the whole damn poll.
Yeah.
Everywhere else, the team that won the game is ahead of the team that lost the game when there's a head-to-head,
yeah,
except for here.
Look at Oregon, Ohio State. The only reason Oregon's number three is because they beat Ohio State.
And trust me, I do not want to defend Ohio State. But you look at their resume versus Oregon's, this is the one you make the case for jumping, not Michigan,
right.
Michigan State. Or Ohio State's actually beaten some teams that are decent. Oregon hasn't. Oregon's beaten Ohio State.
And that loss, man, they need to be – listen, that loss should matter. Losing to Stanford should matter. That's a bad loss.
It will in the end, and that's my point.
Is
about –
is everyone outside the state of Oregon rooting for Stanford to continue to lose?
They've lost six games. Six.
Do they have any more wins on their schedule? Stanford, that is.
Here is the thing.
I'm looking.
Here's the thing about what happened last night. And neither one of us were surprised, because when we talked about the way we thought it was going to be ranked, it was almost this, except for Michigan State being behind Michigan, and then where they were going to fall. It was hard to tell exactly where that was going to happen. But even in the conversation afterwards, all that was talked about was wins, 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 wins. No losses. Now, nobody cared about losses. Obviously, with five teams with a loss ranked ahead of an undefeated so far Big 12 leader in Oklahoma. So here's my question. And he, when of course, OU came up, and he said they don't have any, what was the term he used? Signature wins. They don't have a signature win. And they don't. That's 100% right. It is. They haven't blown anybody out, really. They haven't looked great, and they don't have a signature win. I think OU and OSU were handed an absolute favor last night by Baylor, only dropping one spot.
Yeah.
After losing to TCU. So you're talking about Baylor still in the top 15, number 13 in the country. My question is this. They don't have a signature win. They don't have any losses. If Oklahoma goes down and beats Baylor, are they number two next week?
I think it's based on how they look doing it.
That hasn't mattered.
For OU?
For anybody else. But they have a win that they can point to, right?
Yeah. I don't think it gets them that high up. I think they'll jump up a little bit, but I don't think all the way number two. Over Alabama, presumably.
I don't know
if that'll do it. I think it'll do it. Really, I think it will. It does matter. If they go down there and they beat them by three touchdowns and make it look easy, sure. I can see an argument for that. But if they go down there, beat them, I don't care how they do it. They just hold on to beat them. I only see him jumping up maybe a couple spots. There is no respect for Oklahoma in that
because
committee.
They don't have a win. Exactly. But that's what changes. No. That's what changes this week is they do have a win to point to. That's what changes. I'm using their words, not ours. I'm using their words to explain their rankings, which it's hard to do in certain situations.
I think. Here's my question. Does it matter where – now, listen, let me finish. Does it matter where Baylor's ranked at all?
Absolutely.
If you're Oklahoma.
Absolutely,
all we've heard
is
all Oklahoma has to do is just win out and they're in.
On week-to-week snapshots, absolutely it matters. And here's how else it matters. If they lose.
Well, I see what you're saying. If they lose.
If they lose, that's what matters.
I don't think they get in with a one loss.
100% they will. If Bama loses to Georgia, who they're going to put in Cincinnati? Come on, man. We both know that's not happening. We both know Cincinnati's not getting in.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
An undefeated Cincinnati.
It's not getting in over a one-loss Big 12 champion Oklahoma. It's not happening.
It just feels like after 2 weeks of these rankings, there's so much disdain in that committee against the Big 12. And if there's a one-loss Big 12 champ, that just gives them enough reason to say, no. The Big 12 has never impressed us all season long. We're done with them.
Not happening.
What about a one-loss Big 12 champ versus a one-loss Pac-12 champ? That's for the final, for the fourth spot.
Well, that means Alabama beat Georgia. What I'm saying is totally contingent on Alabama losing to Georgia. Not
saying Alabama being knocked out.
Yes.
Right.
Not being a one-loss SEC champ, because then that's two. Now,
you got two more spots.
OU or OSU with one loss. That's right.
State one loss, they're in.
Now you're down to Oregon. You're down to the Big 12 champ, and you're down to Cincinnati.
Right.
But if
I agree, the Cincinnati should be ruled out in that scenario.
Yeah, if Alabama's out, Cincinnati's out too with a one loss. Either OU or OSU. I don't care who it is.
Yeah.
And that'll be reflected coming up here in a second with the teams that I think control more of their own destiny. But here's the thing: none of this matters. Because it's such a week-to-week thing.
Yeah, that's why I keep looking at the end game and not, suddenly what happened last night? Who's in? Who's out? I'm like, well, let's wait till this all plays out. So it's all for what we're doing. It's all for eyeballs on TVs between two college basketball games and to get the Twitter machine going crazy.
That's right.
My phone was blown up last night. It continued this morning. I simply said, I'm choosing not to get upset about it until the final rankings are
revealed. That's right. But it gets people to watch. It gets people to talk about it, just like us and every other sports show in America is going to be doing right now to talk about these rankings.
Because
now,
if you're OU or you're OSU, I think the path is clear. You win out, you're in. I do think OSU, with the one loss, if they because the two wins over, assuming OU back-to-back, I think is incredible.
For Oklahoma State. Heck yes, it will be.
It's incredibly impressive. I think that gets them in.
Yeah, I mean, we got Cincinnati beat Notre Dame. Okay, Oklahoma State would have beaten Oklahoma twice. That's two better wins than Cincinnati's got.
Yeah.
You know, and here's the thing. So far, everything the committee is going with is wins, not losses. That's all they're talking about is wins, not losses. So, I mean, Oklahoma State beating Oklahoma on their home field and in the Big 12 title game is better than Cincinnati-Notre Dame, according to the rankings. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
For sure, one of them, if not both of them. So, all we are going to hear is, you know, OU has to win them all. I don't think that's the case. Now, what they have to do is win the last one. I mean, the best case scenario, I think, if you're an Oklahoma fan and you have to lose a game, is clearly at Stillwater. You beat Baylor. You hope Iowa State sneaks in the rankings at the bottom, which I've got a bunch of numbers here about that we can talk about in just a second. And then you lose at Oklahoma State. You avenge your only loss. Voila, there you are. And then if you're OSU, obviously, win out, and I think they're in. I really do.
Yeah.
Because the Big Ten thing is going to settle itself all out.
Yeah, the Michigan.
The Purdue beating Michigan State was a huge thing because now there's not that same possibility that exists in the Big Ten.
Right.
There's going to be a one-loss Big Ten East winner because they all play each other, right? There's no way for there to be two one-loss teams anymore.
Correct.
Can't happen. And so then there's not that, well, they didn't get into the title game, but they're still, you know, all that weirdness. That can't happen after Purdue beat Michigan State. Down at the bottom, you know, you talked about not paying attention. I do think you need to pay attention at the bottom from like that 15 back, because certain teams are getting respect for winning those games against teams ranked in that area while others aren't, because they're not there. I want to just do this totally blind resumes here. And you tell me which team seems to have the better stuff. Okay?
Okay.
You got a team that is 6-3. They have not beaten anybody that's ranked. And they've lost to BYU, who is in the top 15. They've lost to San Diego State, who is number 23. And they've lost to Oregon State. So that team versus a team that's beat number 10, and lost to number 20, number 13, and an under 18. Same record, 6-3. So one team has no wins against anybody in the top 25 of the committee's ranking. They've lost to number 14, number 23, and an unranked team. That's one team, 6-3. This other team is also 6-3. They've lost to number 20, number 13, an unranked team, but they've beaten number 10. Which team would you think would be ranked higher?
The first team.
The team that hasn't beaten anybody in the top 25?
Did you say the first team?
The first team has lost to number 14, number 23, and an unranked team, have no wins against a top 25 team at 6-3. That's number one. No wins, two of their three losses against teams that are ranked.
Oh, I see, two of their three losses.
Two of their three losses are against teams that are ranked. They're 6-3. The other team, two of their three losses are against teams that are ranked. They're also 6-3, but they've also beaten number 10.
So one win versus two losses versus ranked teams.
Yeah, you have one win and two losses versus no wins and two losses.
Right.
Which team would you rank higher?
I feel like the second one.
Yeah, the one that beat somebody?
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on. We'll keep that team there. So we're going to move them up, right?
Okay.
So we've moved them into the top 25. The next team up the list has a win over number 24 and a loss to an unranked team. They're 8-1. Versus that same team back here that's beaten number 10, lost to two ranked teams, and lost to an unranked.
I think 8-1 matters.
No matter who they play.
Any ranked wins?
One, they beat number 24. They lost to an unranked team.
The 8-1 stands out to me.
Okay. They're behind them. You got a team that's 7-2. They have no ranked wins. And they've lost to two unranked teams versus our team back here that beat number 10, lost to two ranked teams and an unranked team.
They're 7-2?
7-2 versus 6-3. They haven't beaten anybody, and they lost to two teams that aren't both unranked.
I'd put them lower.
Okay. This next team beat the team I'm talking about, so we'll move on, and then we get to a harder. The team I'm talking, the one that you picked a couple of times, that's Iowa State.
Okay.
Iowa State is completely disrespected. I mean, you've got Arkansas that snuck in at 25. All three of their losses are against ranked teams. They do have a win against number 12. And they've also played a common opponent. They beat them by 19. Iowa State's two or three losses in the top 25. They had the win against number 10, and they actually beat the team they played worse than Arkansas did in Texas. So that's where it starts at 25. You took Iowa State over Utah. You took them over Pittsburgh. You know, that puts them at least to 22, right?
Yeah, around that 20 mark.
And that's a big difference when you start looking at for Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, where their quality wins. Oh, all of a sudden Iowa State creeping in there matters. But you look at what happened this week. Who shot up into the rankings all of a sudden? Utah. Wonder why.
Because they have yet to play Oregon.
Play them next week.
Right.
And, of course, Purdue. Listen, Purdue, is their resume is what it is. They've lost to two ranked teams, an unranked team, and they've beaten two ranked teams. If you want to say they should be ahead of Iowa State at the bottom of these rankings, that's fine. But clear to 19? It's interesting.
It's a massive leap from not ranked to. But
here's the problem. They had to put them in front of Iowa because they beat Iowa. And then behind Wisconsin.
Yeah. But
isn't it interesting who Purdue plays this week?
Oh, of course. Right.
And that's where I think if you want to start talking about, you know, who's on the committee, who could have some bias, the bottom of these rankings is where you notice it, because that propels the teams at the top without anybody noticing.
I think people notice.
Yeah, but
that's where we get the talking heads and we get the upset fans.
Okay, so how many teams do you think have a legitimate chance at the playoff? Like, you can make a case without going completely outlandish.
Around, I was still kind of compiling my list at the break. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Nine.
Okay, I've got 11.
Okay.
Rank them in order of.
You're doing this to me.
Yes, rank them.
Who can, based on. Who's controlling their own
destiny?
Who
controls their own destiny the most?
Okay.
Out of your, I've got 11, you've got 9. So who do you have Cincinnati in your 9?
No.
Okay, that's where.
I don't think they control their own destiny, even if they go
into. No. They don't have to control it all the way, but they have a legitimate chance to make it, right, in your mind?
Well.
I mean.
Chaos and.
Not too much crazy chaos has to happen, right? Georgia beating Alabama and Oregon losing? Is that all they got to have happen?
Well, maybe. Then you got to throw in the scenario of the one loss or the undefeated Big 12 champ, OU.
Okay, they're in.
That takes
Georgia,
a spot.
OU, Big 10, Cincinnati.
What about a one loss? You say Oregon losing?
Yes.
Okay.
That's not that outlandish.
That's not too crazy.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
My point is that they, as far as controlling own destiny, the way I see that is, yes, if Cincinnati controls their own destiny and wins or wins out, they're still kind of sitting at the edge of their seat going, okay, we did our part,
oh, for sure.
But, you know, we are – it's in their hands now.
They need help.
On the other side of things, OU knows we went out. I mean, everyone's saying it. The path is clear. They control it. They control the controllables. I saw a quote a coach put out. Said, we went out. We're okay. Mm-hmm. That's what we can control, and they know that.
Correct.
Cincinnati doesn't know that.
I agree with that 100%.
Okay.
So now rank them.
Okay. Oh, I hate this because I'm wrong all the time. Alabama, they went out.
Okay, but they're number one. I mean, obviously Georgia's number one on this list.
Right, but we talk about controllables, right?
Georgia.
I think Georgia, even if they wouldn't talk about this, if Alabama wins out and.
But that's what I'm saying. Georgia controls everything because they can lose.
They can lose
and still get in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They have to be number one on the list.
So Georgia, then Alabama.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I just mentioned Oklahoma. I mean, they control their own destiny by winning.
Mm-hmm.
It's clear cut. So I put them at three. Oregon's the same way. I think they went out there in because they have the head-to-head over Ohio State. And then that brings me to Ohio State. They went out. They're okay. I'm just trying to go through scenarios real quick in my head.
I mean, any of the Big Ten teams went out, they're in.
Yeah.
Any three.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. So after Ohio State, put the other two in there, right? Michigan State, Michigan. I think Notre Dame's still a player in this. They're still Notre Dame, and they're still 8-1. Am I wrong?
I've got them further down, but
okay.
Definitely one of the 11 I have.
And Oklahoma State.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I kind of stopped.
So you didn't have Cincinnati, and you don't have
– I don't because everything I just said.
And you don't have A&M.
I think they're more on edge, even if they do win out. It's out of their control.
It's definitely out of their control. They're behind a bunch of teams. I agree.
Yeah.
I got Georgia 1. I got Oklahoma 2. Because in no scenario can you you can't create a scenario where undefeated Big 12 champ Oklahoma doesn't make the playoff. Yeah. You flat out can't do it.
Now, I went to the playoff predictor thing. Have you done that recently?
That's fine. Whatever.
They still give them a 90-some percent chance of getting
their third odds in Vegas.
Right.
I got Bama 3 because if they win out. I've actually got Michigan State 4, and here's why. They only have to play Ohio State. That's all they've got left.
That's all
right?
They got left.
Yes. As far as the good teams.
And then Big Ten champ would be?
Probably Wisconsin on the other side.
Well, that looks easy.
I've got Michigan next because they host Ohio State and because Ohio State has to play Michigan State and Michigan just to get to the Big Ten championship game. Ohio State next. I've got OSU ahead of Oregon because I think Oklahoma State, a one-loss Oklahoma State, is ahead of Oregon in the pecking order because they're going to have those two wins against OU. Then I've got Oregon. Then I've got Cincinnati ahead of Notre Dame because Cincinnati beat Notre Dame.
Okay.
And then I've got A&M as the only other team at number 11. Because here's why. I think you could create a scenario to where Auburn beats Alabama, A&M plays Georgia, A&M beats Georgia, stuff happens. I don't think they're completely out of it, is what I'm saying. As the SEC champ with two losses, I don't think they're completely out.
Right.
But it's going to be fun. Let's see what we got on the text.
I mean, it definitely, here's the deal. I watched a lot more football last week during a bye week for Oklahoma. You know, I knew I was going to watch the OSU game, but, man, I had my eyes really locked on Ohio State, Nebraska. Obviously going to the Michigan State-Purdue game more than anything else with the way that was shaking out. And even in the night games, LSU and Alabama, Cincinnati, Tulsa, because of the implications that it would have for OU and OSU.
Sure. I'm telling
you. Based on outcomes. And even based on outcomes, I went to bed Saturday night thinking, man, OU and OSU could really favor what happened right there with how some teams looked and went.
Well,
it didn't happen, but
they were the biggest winners last night in the whole damn thing.
Who?
OU and OSU.
Just
because Baylor only fell to 13.
Yeah.
How shocked were it? But
a little bit.
But to keep the committees,
because it was such a close margin of loss. But, I don't.
They put themselves in a corner on ranking these teams that have beaten the other one. They can't be behind BYU because Baylor beat BYU.
Yeah.
You know, they've kind of painted themselves into these corners, at least right now. Now, all this goes out the window when they rank the last one.
Right.
I guess Oregon beat Ohio State. Yeah, I must have said something crazy. I'm just ranking them in the order. Anyhow. But if you're OU and OSU.
I mean, in hindsight, I go back and I'll probably put Cincinnati in my controlling their own destiny ranking. I'd put
somewhere. I mean, they can make the tournament.
Based on them beating Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. Okay, now if Notre Dame wins out, Cincinnati wins out. Cincinnati has more of a control than Notre Dame because the committee will look at that and go, if it comes down to a fourth spot between Cincinnati and Notre Dame, you know they're picking Cincinnati.
They have to. Because they beat them. And Notre Dame doesn't have a conference title to fall back on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So
they were wishing it was 2020 again.
Yeah. But the biggest winners, OU and OSU, with Baylor only dropping one spot. And at this point, if you're Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, I think you're the one thing you need to happen to OU doesn't need anything to happen, but if you're OSU, the one thing you need to happen to control your own destiny is for Alabama to lose. At that point, you control your own destiny, in my mind, in making this thing.
And it wouldn't hurt
by
OSU,
winning out.
It wouldn't hurt OSU fans. I'll try this on for size for the next couple.
They're
going
to have to root for OU. They
Yell
have to.
Boomer Sooner.
They have to.
You're going to have to. You're going to want OU to win
they
the
have,
next two
both
games. Team,
both teams have to root for the other one before mm-hmm. Bedlam mm-hmm. because it makes the win over them look so much better. And if you're Oklahoma State, two of them against Oklahoma. Yep. And so that, but that Baylor at 13, that was pretty surprising, and it was certainly helpful to be able to for the in-state schools at least. To be right there with a chance. OSU especially. I mean, I think, really and truly, I think OSU was the biggest winner last night.
Yeah.
And so continue to win and continue to have OU win. I think, you know, right now it looks like, oh, yeah, OSU beat number 8. By the time that game happens, Oklahoma is going to be in the top 4. Mark it down. Hit a little high school football playoffs here to end the show in Class 4A. Boy, watching a little bit of Cushing so far. The Elks with a tough one up at Cushing on Friday night. The Tigers, it's going to be something that Elk City really hasn't seen much of since Pampa. And that is spread it out, throw it. Blaze Berlewitz, a junior quarterback for Cushing, averaging right at 300 passing yards a game. Cushing's loss came to Tuttle, which is number one. And there was a couple of turnovers kind of deep in their own territory that changed that game around into the favor of the Tigers. It's going to be a tough one for the Elks for sure. But, you know, they've got guys on the perimeter defensively. To me, they'll hold up. I think the toughest task for Elk City going in on Friday night is those guys in the middle of the field, you know, the linebackers and that. Being able to affect the passing game, and then you have to tackle these guys when they catch it. It's going to remind you of Tech. Mm-hmm. You know, intermediate to short routes for the majority, you have to tackle them in space. You can't let a 5-yard completion end up being a 55-yarder.
No.
And Camden Crooks, one of the receivers for Cushing, he'll be number 21. He is very good in space. And so it's going to be a tough one, but I think the Elks, you know, as far as matchups – it's not the worst one I think they could have drawn.
No, a glass half full. You mentioned Pampa. Big Elks came out on top on that one. You mentioned tackling after the catch. They were very good at that Friday night against Newcastle. Newcastle had a lot of catches, but I was impressed with how Elk City kept them in front. Sure, you give up the 4 or 5 yards. You don't let them the yard after catch kill you. So and it was a bend-not-break defense for Elk City against Newcastle. So maybe playing Newcastle in that passing attack was more of a blessing or a blessing in disguise getting us ready for Cushing. So we'll see. It's going to be a tough ask. Secondary better be ready. Fortunately, we're very healthy, and you never know. You got to play the game.
Yeah, and to me, against a team like this, that first quarter is going to be so, so important not to fall behind and try to play catch-up against a team like that. The good news, though, is if that does happen, I think this is going to be a longer game, mm-hmm. more possessions, just because of the nature of what Cushing does.
Yep.
And so, you know, it's not going to be one of those where you get stopped a couple of times against Clinton, and you look up, it's 21-0 at halftime. Right. And you've only had the ball twice. You know what I mean? I don't think it's going to be quite like that.
No, Cushing likes to score quick from what I saw.
So there will be more possessions, I think, in this game. Clinton hosting Harry, I mentioned about the Tornadoes. Can they keep rolling? I mean, those last 2 weeks were as impressive as anything anybody's done all year long in Class 4A with beating the top two teams in your district combined, 84-0 with the wins over Elk City and Bethany. So can they keep it rolling with Hera coming into the Tornado Bowl?
Nothing says that they won't. They seem like they have an end goal in mind. And like we've said yesterday, days before, it just feels like one of those old Clinton teams that gets better as the season goes on. Hera is in a tough spot from what I'm hearing. They have an injury to a key player. They're running back. It's a tough ask to go into the Tornado Bowl and try to upset one of the top teams in 4A. So it's going to be tough. I don't see anything slowing down Clinton, at least for Friday night.
Favorite game in the first round of of Class 4A?
Bethany Blanchard.
That's what I had to.
Maybe Wagner Hilldale.
That's the other one I had. Believe it or not.
Bethany Blanchard, I think, because of it's not a long trip for Bethany or for Blanchard. Bethany just got walloped by Clinton, what Bethany team shows up. Do they want to rebound from that? Or, you know, they got Blanchard, who just fell by a point to number one Tuttle in their district championship game. That game, it could almost go either way. That one seems more fun to me.
Yeah, I'm 100% in agreement with that one. And then the other that might tickle the fancy would have been Wagner and Hilldale as well. We'll break down a lot more in the next couple of days, hoping to get maybe a coach or two on to talk about their matchups in the next couple of days as well. So we'll have high school football covered for sure as we roll in to the first week of the Oklahoma High School Football Playoffs. All right, that's it.
All right.
Great job on the text line, everybody. Man, it's amazing. The college – this is why they do this show every week.
Everyone has a penny.
And you can get them fired up on the text line, baby.
Yeah. I'm just not going to get upset until the final one. Then we'll break it. We're really breaking
it. It'll be a dumpster fire on here. Things don't go that way.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is